Taking Stock with Pim Fox.
Well, if you couldn't get it, the title of that one is Bottoms Up, and we picked that one because that is the title of a new report by well-known Wall Street strategist Tony Dwyer of Collins Stewart, who has a pretty bullish expectation for the markets, Dave Wilson.
Yes, he does. We survey strategists here at Bloomberg every week, and you get to 1,500 on the S&P 500 at year end. And that's sort of at the high end. There's one strategist that's above there, another one that has the same projection, and that's out of 13. So you get an idea where Tony Dwyer falls on the spectrum, so to speak.
Well, Tony has his reasons, and that's why he's here joining us on Taking Stock. Tony, good afternoon. Thanks. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So give us a better sense on why you were feeling optimistic.
Well, you know, we bring out so much information in the financial media and folks like me that come on and get interviewed. And at the end of the day, what the listeners need to know is the only thing over time that the market correlates with is earnings direction. In other words, as long as the earnings for the market are going up, the market will eventually follow suit. It can have brief fits and starts, which we're kind of anticipating now, but at the end of the day, it goes up. The only thing that makes earnings go down is when you have a recession, obviously, right? The only thing that causes a recession is when you have an inverted yield curve and borrowing shuts down, and we are so far from that that it's just a very exciting environment given the earnings outlook and the valuation levels.
You know, the one thing is, Tony, that we've heard these cliches over the last couple of years about earnings, but how much cost cutting can you really do? We were just talking about Lennar, the home building company, which was able to post a profit, but it wasn't for reasons tied to the real business. So I don't disagree on the earnings, that earnings can power a stock, but if your expectation is that the market can climb another potential 14% after the rise of, what is it, about 25% since the start of September, are you saying we can believe in those earnings as they come out when earnings season gets going?
Absolutely. You look back at the history of it, it isn't which ones do it because of tax reasons and which one does it because of top line. But from the overall stock market standpoint, as long as earnings go up, the market always goes up. Now, where you can get into trouble is when there's a fear of margin compression to what you're talking about, where the top line or the revenue line doesn't match expectations and actually goes down. But we're nowhere near that. I think one of the biggest, most interesting understatements in this cycle has been there's been a dramatic revenue increase.
But let's kind of explore the earnings question a bit more at this point. I mean, you point out in your report, you're looking at, of course, we talk about with the S&P 500, some dollar amount per share, where you're basically pulling together all the projections out there for the individual stocks, giving them weights based on what percentage of the index they are. And you're talking about more than $100 a share. Now, I'm wondering how we get there, especially given that we've shifted from a recession, as you mentioned, to a recovery, and now we're in a flat-out expansion. So how much room is there for companies to do better than analysts are looking for at this point?
Well, the best part is what you mentioned earlier, which is so accurate. There has been a historic amount of cost-cutting. How much more can you take out? And what you've had now is companies and individuals think of your own household. I'm not looking to add to my costs, right? I'm kind of waiting for the revenue to pick up. And that's corporate America. In the meantime, when revenue picks up, you don't just start adding to cost. When a company starts making more money and more sales, they don't sit there and say, okay, let's hire as many people as we can. They're very hesitant to add to their cost structure, especially after what companies have just recently experienced. So your revenue line continues to grow as your costs stay low, and it's that kind of jump start that can help. It can happen in next year. The earnings growth this year is going to be from the energy, financial, and material sector, honestly, as well as all of them. Every sector is going to grow, and that's because costs have been held down.
And yet one sector, which you didn't just mention, is the banking sector, and we just spoke Tony, to the head of Bank United, who was a very smart guy, John Canis, used to run North Fork, and he wanted to make sure investors don't get excited for the types of returns they enjoyed from bank stocks in the past. Now, those are some pretty strong words, and for anyone who thinks that the rally has to include bank stocks more so than other sectors, that's a little bit of caution, I would think.
I think it is from him. Clearly, you know, when you think about what CEOs are saying after you come out of such a horrific environment for the banking sector, where, you know, if you're a CEO of a bank, that used to be a prestigious thing. Now people almost frown upon that when it hits your resume. He's not going to come out and say, "Hey guys, guess what? We're going to rock and roll here. It's going to go up, you know, to the moon." He's going to guide lower, and that's what happens after a recession. There's this misperception on Wall Street that the research community always overestimates earnings and we're always out as a shill. Coming out of a recession, earnings estimates are widely underestimated because those company chieftains get scared to guide you higher. They just got killed. They're not going to do it right away. So one of the reasons that we do expect earnings to go up over $100 a share, our official number is 100,
yeah,
is that coming out of a recession, typically earnings are underestimated between 5 and 20%.
I feel like one of those guys who's all the luck. I get to sit here with Karen and Dave. What could be better? It's a sunny day in New York City. But for investors, obviously the question is whether you pick the stocks that are the ones to beat over the next 12 months. Tony Dwyer has been joining us with his take on where the stock market is headed. Tony, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the sectors you think that'll outperform. Give us a little more color on what areas of the market are going to make people feel lucky 12 months from now.
The one that you highlighted from the bank president that he was worried about returns were going to meet expectations, the financials are our favorite space.
Really?
They are. You have a historically steep yield curve, which means they can make money through investment. You have lending standards have come down dramatically over the last 3 months, almost to a historic degree. And loan demand has finally picked up both on the commercial side, the small and large business C&I lending, commercial and industrial lending, as well as consumer lending. And I think most people kind of haven't really looked at that, but there is demand growth because the economic backdrop has become much better.
At the same time, though, if you go back a couple of years to when this bull market started, I've got the numbers staring me in the face. Financials have been the top performers in the S&P 500, which may have something to do with how far they fell before that. So
Right. What
makes you think that the financial companies can maintain that sort of firepower here?
Because, believe it or not, the earnings have kept up with the stock prices. You know, valuations for financials remain pretty depressed, and appropriately so. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that the banks did all the right things, but they seem to be doing all the right things now, and they're doing it in a much more difficult environment, regulatory environment. So, you know, as long as those things that do drive them over time, which is loan demand, willingness to lend, and steepness of the yield curve, as long as those things are there, you know, it should be a good performer. And the valuation level makes you got to like them.
But, you know, Dave raises a good point. Financials today make up 16% of the S&P. I think 4 years ago it was like 22%.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, I mean, as bullish as people have seemed to have been on Apple for who knows how long, I don't think anybody realized that Apple would one day make up a fifth of the NASDAQ 100. And I guess
no.
My question is, you know, 5 years from now, we talk about stocks tied to commodities like materials having a pretty good run. Well, they're not that influential as a group in the S&P. It's like 4%, where tech is 18%. But is that going to change, Tony? I mean, if China is what it is and these companies just keep selling there, is that going to change? Is the makeup going to change? And how does that affect investments?
Well, at some point, it should kind of mesh with what the economy is doing. So we're jobs and our economy is based on the banking sector. It's based on the consumer discretionary sector. It's not based on producing gold somewhere, you know, in the country. So the manufacturing sector has taken a back seat. So what's the driver to the services sector? And that's typically financing. So I would doubt that while materials and energy can pick up a little bit further due to that international demand, it's unlikely that they're going to kind of trump it. Let me put it to you this way. I'm totally wrong if they become bigger than the financials, because that'll mean the economy is growing way too strongly, which means inflation is a big-time problem. The Fed will be raising rates, and lending will be shut down, and we'll be in a pretty sharp recession again.
I want to touch briefly on the relationship between credit markets and the stock market that you draw in your report. The whole idea that people are buying corporate bonds, even if they don't especially like treasuries, and that that may clear the way for stock repurchases, dividend increases, M&A. We saw Home Depot today selling $2 billion of bonds, and they're going to use half the money to buy back shares. And then if you talk M&A, of course, there's the AT&T bid for T-Mobile USA.
Sure.
So does that become the trend at this point?
It's always the trend. That's the best part. All of a sudden, because of what happened in the last, 50% decline, and it was banking-driven, it's always credit-driven. The market goes south when earnings go south. Earnings go south because companies have a need for money to grow and don't have any access to it. And that's all through the credit markets. Now, what is fueling the credit markets is, let's just do some really simple math. CalPERS, which is one of the biggest pension funds in the country, has announced that they need 7.75% per year return to match what they have to pay in liabilities. With a BAA bond yield at 6%, with a 10-year bond yield at 3.48% today, you can't get there from here. You have to either buy a levered credit fund, which means, buys more bonds than they have cash to get the needed returns you have, or you go into the equity market. And that's why when there's such demand for corporate bonds, it ends up in equity-friendly moves, like you said, which is stock buyback and dividend increases and
right.
mergers and acquisitions.
Tony, thanks for your time. Tony Dwyer with his bullish call on the market.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011, Bloomberg LP.